The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from our Old Testament lesson for today, from Lamentations chapter 3, especially these words: "For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is going to hurt me a lot more than it's going to hurt you. It's a phrase, probably not actually uttered word for word by many actual parents. And yet that phrase has become a popular cultural phrase to express the idea that a good parent to not take pleasure in disciplining their child. Good parents do not discipline their children because they like to, but rather they do it because they must. Yet while this phrase has often been scoffed at and laughed at, it is a phrase that ultimately is meant to state that while a child rarely understands it at the time, when the parent is exercising discipline, they are also practicing love. You see, it is not anger which motivates good parents to discipline, but it is love. For to discipline out of anger can lead to abusive acts, whereas to discipline out of love is at the very heart of good parenting. I think good human parents always struggle with this issue in their heart. For while they know that they are always only to discipline out of love and concern, it's often hard in the situations of life not to let anger take control. Especially in the face of direct disobedience, frustration can give way so quickly to anger. And so good parents must always remind themselves and others that they must always make sure their actions are based in love and not in anger. Those parents who do not struggle with this in the way that they should are most times the ones that are most prone to end up doing unthinkable things. For those that simply allow their anger to go and allow their anger to fuel what they call discipline, often others identify as abuse. It is no accident that God himself identifies himself as a father. He is, after all, the only perfect parent that has ever existed. In fact, he is the only one who can say to his children in all honesty, when he is forced to discipline us, "This is going to hurt me a lot more than it's going to hurt you." Actually, how God does say it through the words of Jeremiah is this. He says, "I do not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men." And while many people who do not know God and his character suppose that he just sits up in heaven and sort of enjoys inflicting whatever he wants upon whoever he wants, God assures us that this is simply not the case. No, God disciplines out of love. In fact, it is true to say that God disciplines only so that he can love. This is a lesson no doubt we earthly parents should learn as well. For you and I think, often see discipline as an end to itself. We discipline our children and we hope that in disciplining them, they will simply learn right and wrong. You know, the more I thought about it this week, it became clear to me that God does not discipline us just so that we learn the rules, so that we learn right from wrong. No, God's discipline upon us is so that we will simply recognize that we have done wrong and return to him. He does this because he loves for us to return so that he can forgive us. Yet this is how God's discipline and his faithfulness come together as one. You see, if God is to remain faithful to us, he must call us back from our sins when we are walking in them. For if he does not call us back to his arms, neither can he wrap those loving arms around us and assure us that he no longer holds our disobedience against us. If God does not bring to attention in our life our death, he cannot give to us the life of his perfect Son, Jesus. God never once had to discipline his perfect Son, Jesus, for doing wrong. But the rest of us, his children, unfortunately have given him more opportunities than he would like to exercise his brand of faithful discipline. You and I are so quick to stray. And each time we stray, God is grieved in his heart. He is so grieved that he can do nothing other than call that sin to our attention, lest we stray further away from him. Sometimes he calls our attention to sin through a simple word that we hear read in the scriptures and ends up calling us back to him. Other times it's the brotherly or sisterly rebuke of a family member or a friend or a pastor who leads us to recognize how we have been walking. Other times it's simply that the results of our actions themselves start to speak to us and make clear to us that the things that we have done are not right. But then there are those times when you and I are so persistent in our wayward ways that God must do whatever is necessary to bring us back. He must do whatever he can to get our attention. God will, as the text says, if he needs to, bring grief upon us. But God never does this work because he is angry at us. He does it rather because he loves us. But when God does his work of discipline on us, all too often you and I simply act like a typical kid. Rather than accepting his judgment of what we have done, instead we seek to justify our actions. Everybody's doing it. I had to. Well, it just seemed right at the time. Or if we're not in the business of justifying our actions, we often then complain that it's just not fair. I'm not as bad as those other people. God is really loving. He wouldn't let this happen. Doesn't he know I'm in church all the time? Or if those two are not the ways we wish to react to God's discipline, sometimes we resort to the last and perhaps most childish reaction we can have. We simply throw a fit. I'm so mad at God. I can't handle this. Why me? But if you and I will learn again today that God's judgment is always right, if we will simply learn to trust his discipline, we will be far better off. Because if we will simply come to recognize our sins, then we will be able to receive the full scope of God's faithfulness to us. As Lamentations says, the Lord will not cast us off forever, but though he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. Yes, he disciplines in order that he might love. For God, when we recognize our sin before him, never enacts future punishment. He doesn't try to just push us under his thumb a little more. Rather, because of the death and resurrection of his perfect child, Jesus, he simply forgives us. His mercy is new to us every morning. Every time the darkness of our sin is taken away and the dawn of his love begins to shine. Great is His faithfulness. And as we deal with such a faithful God time and time again in our lives, as our faith grows as we deal with Him, it should make us ever more likely to say, whether in a time of discipline or a time of grace, we should say these words, words that Jeremiah first wrote. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. Yes, we should be able to speak those words, whether it is God's stern hand that is calling us back to Himself, or it is His loving hand that is embracing us. We should confess that God is good to those who wait for Him. God does not like disciplining us. He gets absolutely no joy from causing us grief. In fact, the Bible says that when He must grieve us, He is grieving Himself. It truly does hurt Him more than it hurts us. But He does this work for the perfect reason. He does this work for love. He does it so that we can receive His forgiveness. He does it so that He can give us the life of His perfect child, the one who died and rose for us. Yes, God time and time again meets our unfaithfulness with His faithfulness. And that is why we can say, great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen.